Wednesday, April 20th, 2016. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. You know, we release new podcasts every single Wednesday, and we bring you kind of a unique slant on the world of sports. You can download, you can subscribe to the podcast, you can head over to iTunes, you can go to a place like Stitcher or like Podcast Republic, pretty much anywhere that podcasts are hosted. You can also head over to our website, dailydosesports.wordpress.com. We put up a new article or two every week, and we always post a link to the podcast there. If you'd like to contact us, got a question, you got a comment, you got a suggestion for the show, we would love to hear from you. Shoot us an email at dailydosesports@gmail.com. Would love to hear from you. You can also follow us on Twitter or like us on Facebook. Both of those are at Daily Dose Sports. This week on the show, we've got a few things we've got to get to this week on the show. First off, we've got to dive into the NBA playoffs. You know, the season was just wrapping up last week when we had the show, and so we didn't get a chance to really dig into some of these playoff matchups. We'll take a look at a few of the playoff matchups. You know, some teams to kind of keep an eye on and where this all might be heading. We can start looking forward just a little bit to maybe what's going to be coming in the next round. The NFL draft is next week, and we are starting to see some movement. We are starting to see, you know, some trades, some teams kind of maneuvering for trades, a few different things going on in the NFL. Plus, the NFL has released their 2016 schedule, and we want to take a look at maybe a few of the games on that 2016 schedule that could be a little bit interesting. We'll check out a few of those, and as usual, we do have our weekly Daily Dose Top 5. It's always a very popular segment on the show. You have to be sure that you stick around for the Daily Dose Top 5. A couple of things coming out, and I'll be honest, I wasn't going to go into kind of some breaking news things, but there are a couple of stories that I just want to touch on. First off, some bad news from the world of basketball. Former Syracuse great Dwayne Pearl Washington has passed away at the age of 52. Washington was diagnosed with a brain tumor last summer. He had surgery in the fall to hopefully alleviate that, but they were unable to, you know, to get that all fixed up, I guess, and Washington passes away. If you don't remember Pearl Washington, this was back in the glory days of the Big East. You had Georgetown, you had Syracuse, you had St. John's, you had Villanova, you had the great teams in the Big East. Pearl Washington was one of those guys that we all looked at and went, hey, he is going to be amazing at the next level. I mean, he was taking on the top teams in the country and putting up these huge points. He could do a little bit of everything. You know, he could shoot it. He could drive. He was a great passer. He had that you know, that New York style game to him. A little bit flashy. He was from Brooklyn. Brooklyn point guard that ended up going to Syracuse and playing for head coach Jim Boeheim. But a phenomenal player. It never quite turned out in the NBA. It never quite turned out the way that we thought it was going to be, but people loved Pearl Washington. A sad day, because like I said, he really was one of the greats and a lot of fun to watch. If you haven't seen the 30-30 on the Big East, go take a look at that on ESPN. You'll get a little bit better of an idea of what Pearl Washington was. He was, you want to talk about guys. You look at these guys from this year. You look at the Ben Simmons, and you look at Pearl Washington was so much bigger than all those guys combined. I mean, he was huge. Everybody knew his name. Jim Boeheim, in his book that he wrote, he said that Pearl Washington was kind of the guy that transformed his run at Syracuse into being a huge national program because everybody knew who Pearl Washington was. Everyone would say, "Hey, there's Jim Boeheim. Hey, there's Pearl's coach." There's Pearl's coach. That's what everyone said. Pearl Washington was a huge, huge figure, especially in the world of college hoops. A little bit of an odd story. UFC featherweight champion Conor McGregor is not going to fight Nate Diaz at UFC 200 on July 9th in Las Vegas like they had talked about him doing. Oh, and not only that, he went ahead and tweeted out he's decided to retire. Seriously? Conor McGregor says he's retired. He sends out a tweet that says, "I have decided to retire young." And now, of course, everybody is scrambling, asking UFC president Dana White, is he really retiring? And Dana White, of course, is like, I don't know. I don't have any idea what in the world he's doing. Here's my only question. Like, I get that, especially the beatdown you took in the last fight, but if he retires, When does he get to go out in public and wear those flashy suits and the sunglasses? Like, I can't see him walking away from that. That's kind of a part of life that I just get the feeling Conor McGregor lives for. Like, he loves that aspect of it. I can't see him walking away from that. He might be able to walk away from the fighting part of it, but if he doesn't have the fighting part of it, then when does he get to show off his suits? Like, when does he, you know what I mean? Like, let's be honest, this guy likes to preen just a little bit. When does he get to do the, I don't know if I'm buying that. I don't know if I'm buying that. I think that, maybe, we'll see. We'll see. News that Nike has terminated their endorsement deal with Johnny Manziel. And Johnny Manziel says he's really hoping to take care of some issues and get back on the field this upcoming season. Yeah, isn't that a coincidence the way that worked out? Isn't that, that's pretty amazing how that worked out, isn't it? Nike says, hey, no more money for you. And Johnny goes, oh, hey, I was just playing. I'm good. I'm ready to get back on the field. I'm ready to get to work. Yeah, as soon as that money stops rolling in, it's amazing how you start getting to work. All right. Like I said, I wasn't going to touch on breaking news. There's just a couple things that I just kind of had to get to, a few things. Okay, let's jump in. The NBA, you know, kicked off the postseason. Postseason is now rolling. You know, it's funny because the NBA has a pretty good gig going right now when you think about this. They have a very, very popular team in the Golden State Warriors. This is exciting NBA basketball. And it's more exciting than the NBA basketball we've seen in quite some time. I mean, think back to, the 2000s. Think back to, you know, like the Spurs and the Lakers and even, you know, the Heat and some of these teams. You can even go back before that, back to like the Rockets and yes, even like the Chicago Bulls in the mid-90s. This is more exciting basketball. This is more fun to watch. This is more aesthetically pleasing for the general population to watch. They turn it on, they see a lot of player movement. They see a lot of ball movement. They see some really, really good shooting. They see some really, really good skills. This stuff is going back to like the mid and early 80s Showtime Lakers and the Celtics and those kind of things. It's that kind of entertainment value. It's pretty entertaining. The Warriors are way more fun to watch than the Spurs were. Let's be honest. The Spurs, as good as they were, as solid fundamentally as they were, they weren't that fun to watch. I mean, walk the ball up, pound it down into the post, kick it across, look for the shot, fall asleep. Okay, this is way more fun to watch. And let's be honest, this Golden State Warriors team is more likable than either, like I said, the Heat or the Lakers. You know, there's all these people that kind of cheer against LeBron. There's a number of people that might cheer against Kobe Bryant and the Lakers. This is not really that either. This is a likable kind of fun group that if you watch, you kind of enjoy. And so we go through this long, long 82-game season. And I mean, from the time the final buzzer sounded last year with the Warriors and the Cavs, we were kind of like, oh man, can't wait for this next season. Going to be fun to watch. Going to be fun to see, can anyone knock them off? Can anyone, compete with the Warriors? And then we've seen them plow through the season. Oh man, I can't wait for the postseason. Can't wait for the postseason. It's going to be so much fun to see the postseason. We finally get to the postseason. The wait is finally over. But just as the postseason is set to begin, here comes the NFL. Here comes the NFL breaking in and interrupting everything. And, you know, as an Americanist society, we care more about the NFL than we do the NBA. That's just a fact. Like maybe you might know people that, yeah, I like the NBA, I like the... But as a society, we like the NFL a little bit more. So right as the postseason is getting ready to start, the NFL releases its 2016 schedule. And let's be honest, it's kind of more interesting than the NBA playoffs themselves. It really is. But here at the Daily Dose, we do what we want. We don't care what society thinks we should do. We aren't a bunch of sellouts. If we want to talk NBA first, that's exactly what I'm going to do. We don't care about anybody else's expectations. We're going to do what we want. So let's talk some NBA playoffs, all right? Right after this NFL segment. So the NFL, they did release their 2016 schedule. And there were a couple of interesting matchups that I kind of want to talk about. Of course, the season is going to kick off on September 8th with a Super Bowl 50 rematch between the Carolina Panthers and the Denver Broncos. That might sound Like, it's not a big deal. It's kind of history. I'm going to be honest. It's a little bit historical. Do you realize the last time that the NFL opened with a Super Bowl rematch? Can you think of it? I'll give you a minute. I'll give you a minute to come up. When was the last time they opened the season, the NFL opened the season with a rematch of the previous year's Super Bowl? Yeah, might not be able to come up with it. In 1969, the Kansas City Chiefs beat the Minnesota Vikings 23-7 in Super Bowl IV. And then in week one of the 1970 season, they met again. Minnesota actually won the rematch 27-10. The game was played in Minneapolis. And I'm not going to lie. When I look at this matchup, it's not going to surprise me a bit to see Carolina come into Denver on week one and beat the Broncos. After hearing all offseason about how Denver trounced them in the big game and Cam Newton kept getting sacked and Cam Newton kept fumbling, couldn't you see Cam Newton come in here and just having a huge game and talking all kinds of smack, probably dancing a little bit, handing the ball to some Carolina guy, the kid that's in the, you know, in the stands, you know, after a week one victory that doesn't really matter? I mean, doesn't that just kind of make sense? I mean, isn't that just kind of what we expect? I'll be surprised if we don't get that. Let's look at a few matchups. Let's look at a few items of interest on the NFL schedule, because there are a few. There are a few that I want to take a look at. That week one matchup between the Panthers and the Broncos will be on Thursday night. But week one, the Sunday night game, here's a pretty good matchup. I'm not going to lie. The New England Patriots go to the Arizona Cardinals. These were two Final Four teams. These are two teams that made all the way to their conference championship. And they're going to be contenders again this year. You look at what the Cardinals do on defense and the defense that they have and what Bruce Arians has done there. We know what Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots are going to do with Tom Brady. And, well, if they have Tom Brady, I suppose that whole, you know, suit is still in place where they were trying to get him suspended for four games. But that's a pretty nice matchup. Opening, you know, Sunday night game, Patriots at Cardinals, pretty good game. Here's the bad part. Got some little bit of bad news on this. Week one, Monday night. So the Sunday night game is great. The Thursday night game is pretty darn good. Monday night game, the Steelers go to Washington. Okay. It's not horrible, but... And then the Los Angeles Rams go to San Francisco. Okay, no one's watching that. No one cares. The Steelers will probably drill Washington, and I'm going to be honest. Rams at Niners, I don't know if anyone wins that game. I mean, does anyone win? Does that just end at like 6-6? We just say forget it. Monday night, first weekend, that's pretty awful. Week four, here's an interesting matchup. And when I say this matchup, you're going to hear this and you're going to, wait a second, how are you going to try to spin that? Hear me out. The Cleveland Browns go to Washington. Now, I already said I'm not real impressed with Washington. They play in the NFC East. We know how horrible that division is. The Cleveland Browns are probably the worst team in the NFL. And when I say probably, I mean definitely, because they're horrible. They don't have any players. They're just awful. But don't forget that what we should be seeing in this matchup is we should be seeing RG3 going back to Washington. What's the reception there? I'm assuming he wins the starting job, right? I mean, Cleveland doesn't have anyone else to roll out there, so it's kind of his to lose. RG3 going back to Washington might be a little bit interesting. Don't get me wrong, I'm not going to watch it, but it's interesting. Week five, Chicago Bears go to the Indianapolis Colts. I know, no one really cares about that. But here is the thing to keep in mind. First time in NFL history that a team is not going to get a bye week after playing the previous week in London. The Indianapolis Colts play Jacksonville in London in week four. They come home and then host the Bears, no bye week. Interesting. Now, what that makes me think is the NFL trying to get us ready for these kind of scenarios? Is the NFL trying to get teams used to, hey, you might be going to play in other countries. You might be going to play in Mexico. You might be going to play in London. You might be going to play in Canada. You might be going to play in wherever. And then, you know what? We can't afford to give you a bye week every single time. You need to come home, suck it up, get the job done. Interesting to think about that. We'll see how that goes. I'm going to go ahead and pencil in Chicago for a win at Indy. even though Chicago's not great, you're going to be fighting a lot of things. The Colts are going to have it. That's an uphill battle. In fact, if I am in, the NFC North, I'm not very happy about that because you're kind of giving the Bears a win there. Even though it's at Indy, they're coming back from London. You're losing days in travel. I'm not real happy about that if I'm an NFC North competitor. You're giving the Bears an easy win. Don't like that. Week seven, Monday night game. The Houston Texans come to Denver. Brock Osweiler returns to Denver. And I just want you to think about how that Denver crowd is going to be. And then I want you to think about how that Denver defense is going to feed off of that crowd. Brock Osweiler, we're going to find out real quick if you were worth that $17 million that you're getting. Because you're going to come here and you're going to play a pretty nasty defense. I know they still have a few things to fill and they've lost a few people. That defense has still got a lot of people. Did you notice, on a side note, did you notice that the Houston Texans cut Brian Hoyer this week? They got rid of Brian Hoyer. Remember, he was the starter last year. Yes, he went into the playoffs. He was horrible in that playoff game against Kansas City. And then they cut him. Now, they could have kept him. They could have kept him around. Do you know why they didn't keep him around? Because when he's there, he's been in the system. He knows the system. He's probably, if you put him in a direct competition with Brock Osweiler, Hoyer's probably going to look a little bit better for a while. He might beat out your guy that you're paying all this money to. You can't afford to keep him on the roster. Because what if in the preseason, and what if in training camp, he looks better than the guy you just paid all this money to? And that is very, very possible. So Brian Hoyer is now on the market. I don't know who's going to get him. Doesn't look like anybody's really that interested in it. Is he that bad? I mean, he had decent stats last year until he got to the playoffs. I don't know. We'll see. Week 10, we have a Super Bowl 49 rematch as the Seattle Seahawks go to New England to face the Patriots. Should be a fun game. Both of these teams are again, going to be Super Bowl contenders. Seahawks at Patriots should be fun. Week 12, we get to Thanksgiving. The Thanksgiving day. Thanksgiving, I've told you before, Thanksgiving, seriously, it's one of my favorite holidays because there's no, like, imagination to it. Like, it's just gluttony and football. It doesn't get any better than that. So on Thanksgiving, I mean, you get up and you're like, hey, throw the turkey in the oven and let's get ready to gorge ourselves and then turn on the football games and let's just watch those all day. We don't have to. I don't got to come up with presents. I don't got to come up with decorations. No, let's just stuff ourselves and watch football. So this year, Thanksgiving, let me break down. We got three games. The Minnesota Vikings go to the Detroit Lions. Detroit. Okay, that might not be bad. Washington goes to Dallas to face the Cowboys. The NFC East, not sure about that. And then the Pittsburgh Steelers go to Indianapolis to face the Colts. Why does Detroit and Dallas have to play on Thanksgiving? And I know the other teams that are on those with those clubs, they're probably like, hey, knock yourselves out. Have fun. But who else does this? Like, the NBA doesn't every year just say, hey, on Christmas Day, remember, it's always going to be the Lakers and the Heat. I mean, who would do this? It's stupid. Because it's cyclical. You're going to have years where the team is good. You're going to have years where the team is bad. Who just locks in and says, hey, we're showing these teams every single year, no matter what? We've had years, not that long ago, we've had years where the Detroit Lions were like, hadn't had a win yet, and they were still the game on Thanksgiving Day. Can we get rid of these two? I don't want to watch Detroit. I don't want to watch Dallas. If we have to see them, can they play each other and then we could get a couple other decent games? I don't care about either one of these teams. I don't know why they stuff these teams down our throat every single year. Doesn't make any sense. But there is your Thanksgiving lineup. Week 16, second to the last week of the season. There is a game on Thursday night. There are 12 games on Saturday. And then on Christmas Day, remember, Christmas Day is on Sunday this year. On Christmas Day, 2:30 Mountain Time, The Baltimore Ravens go to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Pretty good division rivalry game there. And so that's not bad. Be interrupting your Christmas afternoon just a little bit with Baltimore at Pittsburgh. And then your primetime game that night, 6:30 Mountain Time, the Denver Broncos go to the Kansas City Chiefs. Again, a division rivalry, a game that definitely could have pretty major playoff implications. We have two games, NFL games, on Christmas Day. You might notice, if you take a look at the schedule, the last few weeks of the schedule, it's all divisional games. The NFL is trying their best to not have the playoff races locked up by, you know, week 10. They hate that because nobody watches. You get down, you're getting into the holidays, you're getting into these, somebody, and you're like, well, yeah, but my team's already got like a 4-game lead, and they're trying to get rid of that. So that last month of the season is turning into all divisional games. Week 17 is on New Year's Day, on Sunday, New Year's Day. All 16 games, all 32 teams playing. There's no Monday night game. There's no Thursday game. All 32 teams will play, and all of them are divisional games. NFL's going to own that last month. NFL is going to own New Year's Day this year. By the way, just something to kind of keep in the back of your mind. College football games this year for their bowl games. On Monday, the day after New Year's Day, will be some of the big bowl games. The Outback, the Rose, the Sugar, the Cotton. Those will be on January 2nd this year. But the playoff games, are going to be, and those this year will be the Peach and the Fiesta. Those are going to be Saturday, December 31st. Those are the two playoff games, Peach and Fiesta. And then Sunday, we have NFL all day. And then Monday, we have all those big bowl games. And then the following Monday will be the championship game. That's a pretty nice week. Like, I'm not going to complain about that this year. I thought the way they did it this past year, not so smart. But yeah, 31st, playoff games. First, finishing up the NFL season. And then the second, a couple of the big bowl games. That's a pretty good weekend. I'm already kind of looking forward to that. As if the NFL schedule coming out wasn't enough to distract us from the NBA, we also had a pretty interesting trade go this past week. The Los Angeles Rams traded, let me get this for you, a first-round pick, 2 second-round picks, and a third-round pick to the Tennessee Titans. And the Tennessee Titans, in return, gave them the top overall pick in this year's draft, as well as a 4th and a 6th selection. So the Rams now have the top pick in this year's draft. Now, if the Rams trade this much, and it's funny because I've heard a number of people talk, I've heard Jeff Fisher talk, I've heard the general manager talk, a number of people talking, and they say, well, yeah, we traded up, we're just not quite sure who we're going to take. Oh, okay. Well, I'll just believe you, because, I mean, you said it, so it must be true. As a rule, when we start getting close to NFL draft time, don't believe anything anybody says. They're all lying. If you trade that much, you trade, 4 picks to the Titans? And yes, you get back 3, but let's be honest, those last 2 were kind of just throwaways. You know exactly who you want. And I got a pretty good idea. You want a quarterback. I think, doesn't it feel like everything that the Los Angeles Rams are doing this year kind of feels like a publicity stunt, just a little bit? Like we're trying to drum up some excitement for this team in L.A.? We're trying to get people to kind of pay attention to us. We moved to L.A. Hey, I'm not sure if you guys realize, we moved to L.A. Look at us out here. We're in L.A. Yeah, we know. We just don't care. You guys go 7-9 every year. Who cares? Think about what the Rams have done. Hard knocks. They go on Hard Knocks. Now they have this big trade. They talk about how they don't know who they want. Jeff Fisher is out there going on every sports show in America saying, none of this stuff is a publicity stunt because of the move to L.A. Yeah, that kind of makes me think it all is. Sort of makes me think that you kind of know exactly what you're doing. What I'm thinking that they're going to do with that top pick is I think they're going to take Carson Wentz from North Dakota State or Jared Goff from Cal. And if we know that this is all kind of just to drum up some business, doesn't it just kind of make sense that they're going to take Goff from Cal? I mean, this is a kid who grew up in the Bay Area. This is a kid who went to Cal Berkeley. It seems to me that they're going to be taking Jared Goff with that top pick. I don't know if he's the best quarterback. I don't know if this is a very good year for quarterbacks. I don't know if this is a very good draft in general. this NFL draft seems like it's a little bit down. I don't know if there's that many just standout players that you said, no, that's the guy. That's the guy. He's okay. Carson Wentz looks pretty solid, but he's okay. This doesn't seem like that strong of a draft. I don't know if I would have traded that much to move up in a situation where, let's be honest, it's all kind of a guess. The Cleveland Browns now are talking about trading out of the number two pick. They are sitting at number two, and they have some issues because they have RG3. So should they take the other quarterback that the Rams don't take? I mean, do you then take Carson Wentz? You have RG3. Or does it make more sense for the Cleveland Browns to try to draft and surround him with some talent and see if they can't, you know, kind of build up their roster? Let's face it. They need basically every position on the entire field. It's not like you sit there and say, well, if they just shored this thing up, then they'd be better. They need everything. If someone wants to move up, Cleveland might as well trade down because let's face it, the draft is kind of a crapshoot anyways, right? You don't know what kind of quality you're getting, so you might as well get as much quantity as you can and hope that you're kind of the blind squirrel that finds the nut because we don't have any idea. The end of the third round may produce the best player in the draft. I mean, we don't know. As much analysis, as many experts as we have out there predicting and saying, well, I've watched him and I've looked at his hands and I've looked at the way he swims, and we don't have any idea. It is all about getting players in the right situations with the right team at the right time. So we don't have any idea. We're just kind of guessing. If I was the Cleveland Browns, I'd be trading down. I don't think there's anybody in this draft that is really worthy of that high of a pick anyway. Next week, like I said before, we're going to be getting you ready for the NFL draft. Next week, we'll take a look at kind of a little bit of a mock draft and kind of give you an idea of some directions that teams will be going. But next Thursday, the NFL draft will be here. It's always a fun day. It's always an interesting day and you know, 2 or 3 days to kind of see how teams look at filling out some of the needs that they have. Okay. Enough NFL. I know. Let's get to the NBA. The regular season wrapped up last week. Golden State hit their 73 wins. They eclipsed the 96 Bulls record and, you know, it really actually kind of didn't get that much media coverage. Why? Because the nation was too busy rejoicing as Kobe Bryant scored 60 points in his final game. Oh, just amazing. Everyone was completely shocked by Kobe Bryant scoring or, you know, getting that 60 points. Really? I mean, everyone was just so surprised. No one could believe that he had that many in his final game. Well, except for me. Here is a clip from the Daily Dose just last week. Utah has to go to the Lakers tonight and face the Lakers in Kobe Bryant's final game. So it won't be easy. You know the home crowd will at least be into it. And you know Kobe, you can't imagine he's going to go out with a whimper, right? I mean, he's going to go out jacking up. I'll say Kobe goes for 50 tonight. No, not points. Shots. He'll have 50 shots tonight. So, of course, now, you know, we have the morons in the sports media saying how Kobe should stay and this might be the greatest final game in the history of sports. Really? Really? The Lakers went 17-65. They finished 16th in the West, scoring 60 against a deflated Utah Jazz team that just got eliminated and had nothing to play for. That's one of the greatest finales in sports. This was your bullseye all along. Well, I'm just hoping I can finish strong with a 60-point game against a Jazz team that doesn't care, and on a night that my teammates just continue to feed me and tell me to shoot. That's what you were hoping for all along? This is what's going to go down in the history books as the greatest final game, going 22 for 50. Took 50 shots. Can you imagine if Steph Curry took 50 shots in a game? He'd have like 137 points. Oh, I know. I can hear you now. I can hear it now. I'm a hater. Why do you always have to bring up the 50 shots? You just hate Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant is a great player. I've said before, I think he's probably a top 15 player. But let's slow down on the emotion of him going for 60 against a really, really bad Utah Jazz team. Yes, he got hot at the end. He got hot at the right time. But it also had a little bit of a rec field, didn't it? Everybody just kept giving him the ball and saying, shoot. So slow down. I know. You're saying, you know, stop hating on Kobe. Stop being so negative about Kobe. Can't you just give him this? Can't you just give him this? He had 60 points in his last game. Stop ripping Kobe. It's not like he, I don't know, raped someone. Did you see that the NBA is going to be the first U.S. sports league to allow ads on their game jerseys? In 2017-18, so not this next year, but the following year, teams are going to be allowed to sell a 2.5 by 2.5 inch ad on their NBA game jerseys. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver says that they estimate that this program is going to be worth about $100 million per season. $100 million per season just to put this patch on of whatever, you know, whatever corporate logo you want to put on there, whatever ad you want to put on there. Yes, you're still going to be paying $12 for a 12-ounce Coors Light at your concession stand, but they're going to come up with a little bit of an extra $100 million because they don't quite have enough money. I mean, really? How many yachts can you drive? You only have two sets of hands, just the set of hands. How much money do you need? You need another $100 million? I mean, this is like literally NBA owners just printing their own money. So who is your team going to have? Like, you might be sitting there saying, well, I'm a Timberwolves fan. I'm a Spurs fan. I'm a Rockets fan. Whatever it might be. What ad is going to go on your team's jersey? And when you buy that ad, what all does that come with? Like, do I have anything on the warm-ups? Do I have anything on the headband? Is it just that little patch on the jersey? That's the only thing? Are we handing things out at the games from this company? Is that all I get? It's kind of interesting. And what kind of goes with your team? I mean, here at the Daily Dose, we try to help people. This podcast is about helping people. That's what we do. So, of course, we have some ideas for some teams. We have some ideas to try to help these teams with maybe their own specific needs. Of course, we can do the standard, Sacramento Burger Kings, or, I don't know, Sacramento Kings Hawaiian Rolls. You could do the Chicago Red Bulls. Something easy like that. What about the Denver McNuggets? You would think McDonald's might try to get involved just a little bit with Denver. Not a bad idea. All you got to do is put a Mook on the jersey and you're pretty much done. But I'm thinking a little more specific. Maybe, like I said, a little more specific to what each team actually needs. Here's a couple ideas I have. Like the San Antonio Spurs. They're a little bit older. A little more mature. Maybe they have like the Depends patch on their Spurs jersey. I don't know. Just something to think about. People look at it, hey, if they can do it, if they can use that product, then maybe it's something that would fit me. Or, when you do think about the Sacramento Kings, instead of just going with the easy, name, Burger Kings or, something like that, you got DeMarcus Cousins, you got Rajon Rondo on that team. You might want to put like a Prozac patch on your jersey. That might be the best fit for you. Philadelphia 76ers, young team, keep drafting younger and younger and younger and younger. I think the average age of that team is like 15. Maybe they just like get, I don't know, Nick Jr. They get like a Nickelodeon patch on theirs. It's what their players are all watching anyways. With their point guard, D'Angelo Russell, in mind, maybe the Lakers put like a Snapchat patch on their jersey. Is that too soon, Laker fan? Sorry about that if it is. But, you figure not everybody on the team knows how to use the program, so maybe it's not a bad idea to kind of partner with him and try to educate some of your younger players how to use Snapchat appropriately. And, let's be honest. Out of all the ideas that we have, if the Cleveland Cavaliers aren't wearing a patch for the Bosley Hair Club for Men, let's be honest, this is all just a waste of time, isn't it? We're all just wasting our time. If they don't have some sort of like Rogaine or something, because we know LeBron's headband was getting further and further back, and now he's just got like a full head of hair. We're gonna see LeBron with like a full afro here soon. Let's get actually to the NBA playoffs. You know, it's funny because we come off this amazing finish to March Madness. We finish the season with these, you know, great, you know, final game, and then we get into the NBA, and you've got this, you know, historical performances and 73 wins for the Warriors, and Kobe has the big game at the end, and we finally get to the postseason, and it's like, oh yes, the postseason is finally here. We talked about this earlier. We're so excited for this, and it's awful. The games are boring. The basketball is bad. Ugh, it is painful. I'm trying to watch these games. And I know it's going to get better, but right now, the NBA playoffs are horrible and unwatchable. There's just no way around it. There is just some really, really bad basketball going on right now. Let's go ahead and take a look at each of these matchups. And I'm not going to dwell on them. I'm not going to break them down too deep, but I just want to take a look at each of these matchups. Let's look at the number one seeds. On the Western side, Golden State Warriors, of course, are taking on the number 8 Houston Rockets. Warriors are up 2-0. Now, in game one, Steph Curry turns his ankle. But the Warriors were so far ahead, it doesn't matter. And so Curry comes out, says he could go back in and play. Don't forget that Steph Curry has a history of ankle problems. Now, they say this is just a turned ankle. This isn't anything structural. This isn't anything that's anything's damaged in there. It's just a turned ankle. That's it. But right now, if you're the Warriors, you don't even have to play Steph Curry. James Harden is playing the role of like Chucker at the rec center right now. He's just going down and firing things up. Like, he could care less if they go in. He doesn't really know if they're going to go in. He doesn't care if they win. He's just going to throw something up. And Dwight Howard is right now in the role of invisible man. And I kind of feel bad for Dwight Howard because they never give him the ball. Like, how am I supposed to get going with my one patented move of one dribble and, you know, jump hook? But you never give me the ball, so what more can I do? Basically, Houston's offense consists of James Harden come down, dribble, 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 chuck up a shot. Try to get fouled. Try to lean into the defense and get fouled. If you're Golden State, you don't have any rush to bring back Steph Curry. On Monday, this past game in Game 2, Houston played probably about as well as they're going to play. I mean, they shot 44%. They were like 80% at the line. They had 19 turnovers, which is too many against Golden State, but it wasn't even close. I mean, it wasn't even close. Now, let's be real clear. The Warriors haven't done anything yet. All they've done is win the two home games they're supposed to win, but I don't see much signs of life from Houston at all. I don't see anything they can do. They're so bad defensively that unless the Warriors just come out and have one of those nights where they can't make anything, right now I can't see Houston even winning a game. I'm just hoping to see Houston compete in a game. Forget winning a game. I'd like to see a game actually be close at the end. On the Eastern side, number 1 Cleveland Cavaliers faced the number 8 Pistons, and that is 1-0 right now in favor of the Cavaliers. Game 2 is tonight. Kind of a good news, bad news for both of these teams in Game 1, though. It really was. It was kind of good news, bad news. For the Pistons, the good news is you shot 15 of 29 from three-point range. We know Stan Van Gundy's teams are going to shoot a ton of threes, but we also know they don't usually make them. Well, they actually did make them on Sunday in Game 1. They made quite a few of them. But for as good as you shot, the bad news is you still lost the game in Game 1. Now, the good news for the Cleveland Cavaliers in Game 1, Kyrie Irving goes for 31. Kevin Love goes for 28. LeBron James is your third leading scorer with 22. You got a lot of production from those other guys. You didn't have to depend completely on LeBron James. You got a lot of production from Irving and from Love. The bad news is that for all that production, you barely beat the number 8 Spurs. So it's kind of hard to read exactly. What I expect this series to do is I expect the Cavaliers are probably going to sweep them. But I expect the Pistons to battle. I expect them to play tough. Maybe they steal one. Just on grittiness and kind of toughness in Detroit, maybe they can steal one. But they just don't have the people. They just don't have the people to match up with Cavaliers. They just have too much talent. The number 2 on the Western side, we saw the San Antonio Spurs thump the Memphis Grizzlies last night. Spurs are now up 2-0. The Spurs are just so good defensively. They're so good defensively. They shut down everything that you want to do. They force you to settle for outside shots, and they don't give you second shots. Do you realize that the San Antonio Spurs contested 77% of Memphis's shots last night? They missed all seven of their contested three-pointers. So Memphis was just hoping maybe we can generate a little bit of offense. Because San Antonio doesn't generate a ton. Maybe we can generate a little bit of offense. The Grizzlies are just so banged up, they have no way to do that. The rest of the NBA, I think, was kind of hoping Memphis could at least make it ugly. Can you kind of bog them down? Can you kind of make it hard on San Antonio, wear on those old legs? But so far in these two games, Memphis has scored 74 points and 68 points. So not only are the Spurs winning, they're winning pretty easily. And these old guys are getting some rest. They're getting to actually sit down at the end of these games. That's kind of a recipe for the rest of the league is going to have to deal with San Antonio Spurs if they can get by people like this. Doesn't look good. I expect Memphis to give them one more shot in game three, and then that might be it. I could see the Spurs sweeping this one. On the other side, in the East, the number two, Toronto Raptors, are tied at 1-1 with the number seven, Indiana Pacers. I'm not sure if there's a fan base in the NBA that loves its team quite like Toronto does. And you might sit there and be like, what are you talking about? There's a lot of these teams love their do you realize that Toronto will have like 60,000 people outside the arena that aren't even going to go in and watch the game? They're just outside the arena celebrating. Kind of crazy. Kind of crazy how much Toronto loves their basketball team. But the Raptors are kind of like, I don't know, like Arizona or Gonzaga, you know, in college basketball. They're kind of like those teams of the NBA. They look great until the postseason, and then they just crash and burn, and it looks really, really bad. Paul George looks like he might be good enough to carry the Pacers, at least for one round. I don't know if he can do it for another round, but he might be able to get the Pacers past these guys. And Frank Vogel, we don't talk about him too much as one of the top coaches in the NBA. Frank Vogel is a really, really good coach. Coach of the Indiana Pacers, does a lot of really, really smart things. He understands the game really, really well. I wouldn't be surprised a bit to see the Pacers take out the Raptors. Raptors go down, it seems like, every single year in the first round. Here is a scenario that could take place. DeMar DeRozan, going to be a free agent? What if the Pacers or the Raptors do crash and burn here? You know where DeRozan's from. Now, I don't know why it would make sense for him to do this, but DeRozan is an L.A. guy. He is from Los Angeles. Any chance, if they crash and burn, that he looks at it and says, eh, maybe I'll just go home and play. If we're going to be losing and not have a ton of success in the postseason, maybe I just go back to L.A. Maybe I go join up with the Clippers or the Lakers. Now, like I said, I don't know if I want to go from playoff contender to lottery team going to Lakers, but just something to kind of keep in the back of your mind. The number three on the Western side is Oklahoma City. They are tied at one game apiece with the Dallas Mavericks. Remember the last few years when we hammered former Oklahoma City coach Scott Brooks for not running anything late in games? Well, here's the problem. Oklahoma City still doesn't run anything late in games, and they're doing it under Billy Donovan. And I've watched Billy Donovan coach for a number of years, and I know he runs a lot of stuff. But the Oklahoma City Thunder late in games looks exactly the same as they always have under Scott Brooks. Russell Westbrook is out top, pounding the dribble, and KD is hiding in the corner, and everyone else is standing and watching. Now, at some point, don't we have to say, I've got a feeling these coaches are drawing something up, and Westbrook and Durant just don't care. They just do whatever they want. Because now it's happening again. We're seeing the same formula again. The offense that Oklahoma City runs, I mean, you want to talk about generic. They don't really do anything on offense. I can't believe Billy Donovan's not putting something in. I saw what he did when he was at Florida. Ball screen and stagger screen and ball screen and dribble handoff and just a ton of stuff. I can't imagine he's not calling any of this stuff. But once again, Oklahoma City on offense looks like they don't really run anything. it looks like they kind of just roll the ball out and say, well, Westbrook and KD, why don't you guys go create stuff? And it doesn't happen. Now, I expect the Thunder to win because Dallas is just so bad defensively. They just can't get stops. And yes, they got the win the other night, kind of a goofy, little bit of a fluky win. I expect Oklahoma City to win this. But Oklahoma City has lost 15 games this season in like the final minute. That's not good. That's going to be a problem because I'll guarantee you, if you do get by Dallas, and I think they will, I think it might go five or six games, but I think they get by Dallas, it's not going to be that easy on the next round. It's going to be a lot tougher in the next round because some of those games are going to go down to the last minute. And we've seen what Oklahoma City does in the last minute of games. Over on the East, number three seed is Miami. Miami is up 1-0 on Charlotte. I give Charlotte head coach Steve Clifford a ton of credit because I'm going to be honest. This Charlotte team is a little bit of a mess. He got them to win 48 games. And I mean, Michael Jordan, for as great of a player as he was, we've seen his player moves not always so good. He's kind of thrown this mess together, and somehow, I don't know how, Steve Clifford has got this team to win. But I have to say this. And when I say this, you're going to say, what? Miami head coach Eric Spoelstra is a much, much better coach than people think he is. We thought he only won because he had LeBron, but he's winning not only without LeBron, but he doesn't have Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade's knees, let's be honest, are like an eyelash away from just completely giving out. I actually give Miami an outside shot to give Cleveland at least a competitive series over on the eastern side. I think Charlotte's going to play them tough, though. I don't expect them to go away. I think Miami wins this series, but I think Charlotte, every single game, Charlotte plays hard. Charlotte, you know, is really, really aggressive. They play tough. I don't think they're going to quit, but I think Miami wins this series. Over on the West, we go to the four seed, the last seeds on either side. The Clippers are up 1-0 on the Portland Trailblazers. I know it looks like the Los Angeles Clippers should just blow out Portland in this series. I realize that. But it's kind of the same old problem for the Los Angeles Clippers. They have no depth whatsoever. Sixth man, Jamal Crawford, and he just won the sixth man award yet again for like the 8,000th time at some point. Wouldn't you think Jamal Crawford would be like, can I start? Like, I'm the sixth man of the year every single year. Can I get a starting gig? But that's it. That's all they have. The Clippers don't have anyone else. And I realize that in the playoffs, you play a shorter bench. I'm not going to go 8, 9, 10 deep unless I just have, you know, that kind of a stacked squad. But in the postseason, your bench gets shorter. But you can't get much shorter than what the Clippers are already going. They go 6 deep and that's it. Here's another question for you. I'm going to just lob out another scenario for you. Let's just say, this is 1-0. Clippers are up on the Blazers. I expect the Clippers to win this, but I think it could go 6, maybe even go 7. Let's just say that the Clippers somehow would lose in the first round to Portland. Or maybe, if they do get by, maybe they have Golden State in the next round and they get beat by Golden State. Is there any chance in the offseason that they kind of look to shake up their roster? Any chance that the Clippers kind of say, maybe we want to get a little bit younger, maybe we want to do a little bit different things? Maybe we want to trade Chris Paul. I don't know. Something to think about. Maybe we'd like to trade Chris Paul to Cleveland for Kyrie Irving. And then we get a younger point guard that can really score. And LeBron kind of gets one of his, you know, birthday wishes of getting to play with CP3. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. Just something to think about. I'll take the Clippers in this. I think it'll be a lot tighter than people think it's going to be. I know there's a number of people that think this will be a sweep or this will be fine. I think the Blazers will give them all they want. I think they're just scrappy enough. And like I said, I don't like the depth that the Los Angeles Clippers have. Final series going in the playoffs right now. The Atlanta Hawks are up 2-0 on the Boston Celtics. You know, Boston's a fun team to watch. Earlier in the season, we had John from California on. He likes Boston. He liked what they did. Just likes the way they play. I get all that. Here's the problem for Boston. They are facing like the worst matchup they could probably. They would match up better with the Cavaliers than they do against Atlanta. We knew that the Hawks had a better front court. We knew they had a better front court. I mean, they got Horford, they got Millsap. They present some problems for you in the front court. But now that the Celtics have lost Avery Bradley, now they're kind of struggling in the backcourt too. Now they're not getting as much out of their backcourt as they need to get. And now Boston is going to have to get a ton from Isaiah Thomas. And I just worry with Isaiah Thomas that he's going to try to do too much. I mean, I still expect the Celtics to be scrappy. They're down 2-0, and I don't think this series is over. But I don't think they can beat the Hawks 4 out of the 5 next games. And that's what they'd have to do in order to win at this point. Again, keep this kind of in your mind. These series don't start until the road team wins a game. Until the home team loses a game. That's when these series really get started. Because a lot of these series, if the home team just won their first two, don't get too wrapped up in that. It's still a long series. You still got to go to their place. Still got to do some things. I think that's a bad matchup for Boston. I think they, if there's one team they didn't match up well with, I think it might have been Atlanta. Now, if these series all go the way that I think they're going to go, the next round we would be seeing would be Golden State against the Clippers over on the West. Oklahoma City against the Spurs. Those are two pretty solid matchups. That might actually be some watchable basketball. Over on the Eastern side, you would have the Cavaliers against the Hawks. And then I think you have a chance to see the Pacers against the Heat. Pacers might give the Raptors all they want. Maybe then the games will get more interesting. Maybe then the games will be a little more fun. But NBA playoffs are going. NBA playoffs in full-on mode right now should be interesting to watch. As we do every single week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. You know, today is April 20th. April 20th. That might not mean anything to you, but to a number of people, 420 has become huge in marijuana culture. And of course, being in Colorado, we get inundated with pot culture. I know. You have the jokes. Everybody talks. Yes, you're a mile high. I understand. Did you know? You know, there's kind of a thing going on at Coors Field where you know the Rockies play. There's this big kind of thing about how a lot of people are going to Rockies games and getting high at the games. You know, legalized and everything. There's the balcony at the field. There's places out in the parking lot. There's places that people are going out smoking or whatever it might be. It's kind of funny because as much grief as the state of Colorado gets for the legalization of marijuana, and a lot of other people are like, oh yeah, all you guys do in Colorado is smoke weed or whatever. It's kind of funny because what they found in their research is, do you know who is taking part in these events? You know who is going up in the balcony and smoking? Do you know who is smoking in the parking lot? It's not the Colorado people. It's the visiting teams. It's the visiting fans, because they are going to take advantage of the local laws while they are here. So yes, you can make the jokes that you want if you want about Colorado and all the marijuana stuff. But the fact is, you guys all kind of wish that you could do it. 420. Big day in marijuana culture. Being in Colorado, today we've got to talk about the stoner high holy day. We have to go with a cannabis top five, don't we? So today, here on the Daily Dose, we've got to get to our Daily Dose top five stoner athletes of all time. That's right. We don't usually go this route, but we got to get to, on 420, our Daily Dose top five stoner athletes of all time. Are you ready?
Hey, bud. Let's party.
Well, I don't know if we need that, but number five on our list, San Francisco Giants pitcher Tim Lincecum. Two-time Cy Young Award winner. He was the World Series champion in 2010, 2012, and 2014. But Tim Lincecum has also had a few run-ins with the law, and he has been ticketed a few times for marijuana possession. He has the stoner nickname of the Freak. The fans in the Bay Area actually have T-shirts that they wear to games that say "Let Timmy Smoke," because they were so mad that he got popped for having an illegal substance back there. He even has kind of the dirty hippie lettuce hair coming out from under his hat. Tim Lincecum definitely has to be one of our top five stoners. Number four, and we've talked about this guy before. Somehow, I think he might be the greatest player, one of the greatest players in NBA history. And he's somehow still a little bit underrated, but there's no question that he kind of has an affection for the cannabis. NBA great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You know, he's been arrested a few times. They say that he smokes pot to alleviate his nausea because he's had migraines his entire life. But, I mean, dude was six-time NBA MVP. He was a six-time NBA champion, and now he has a legal prescription to purchase in California. But there's no question Kareem Abdul-Jabbar loves his, loves his medicinal. So Kareem has got to be on our top five stoner athletes of all time. Number three on our list, got to be Olympic swimmer and gold medalist Michael Phelps, doesn't it? Remember after he won eight gold medals at the 2008 Beijing Olympics, Michael Phelps was photographed ripping this bong hit at like a South Carolina house party. He got 3 months suspension from USA Swimming, and he even talked about, well, if I can't smoke, then I guess I might just have to quit swimming altogether. So he kind of took a step away from the sport. Michael Phelps, yeah, you kind of think back to the time that he had, and you, even now, like they're talking about, you know, he's going to swim in this next round of Olympics. Let's make sure you can pass the drug test, okay? Number two on our list. Now, we're starting to go into another, like we have some guys that yes, they kind of like, a little recreational here. Now we're going to jump it up a little bit. We're going to take it up a notch. Number two on our list, former Dallas Cowboys offensive lineman, Nate Newton. Now, Newton was a pillar on one of the most dominant offensive lines in NFL history. Remember in the 90s? He was a six-time Pro Bowler. He was blocking for Emmitt Smith, and Emmitt went on to become the NFL all-time leading rusher. Dallas won three Super Bowls, and Nate Newton was a big part of that. But after his career is what I want to talk about. Because after career, it wasn't that Nate Newton, like, you know, was getting arrested for possession, or getting, you know, found driving under the influence. It wasn't that. Here's what he got. He was driving through Louisiana, and Newton got pulled over with 213 pounds of weed in his vehicle. And then, as if that's not bad enough, he gets out, he gets done, he gets away, whatever. Just 5 weeks later, he gets pulled over with another 175 pounds of weed in his vehicle. That is almost 400 pounds. Pounds of weed. Now you might sit there and say, well, yeah, he might have been, you know, taking it somewhere. That doesn't mean he was, you know, smoking it. That doesn't mean that he necessarily was partaking. Don't you have to be a little bit stoned to be trying to carry that much? 400 pounds? That's quite a bit. That's actually about what he weighs. So he was basically carrying his body weight in marijuana. It's quite a bit. So who could our number one stoner athlete of all time be? Got to think about this. But when it hits you, you'll go, oh yeah, no, it's got to be him. Who else could it be? It's got to be former NFL running back Ricky Williams. Drafted by the New Orleans Saints in 1999, he played a few seasons, and he had some solid years. Went to the Pro Bowl. Then he got traded to Miami. And he reportedly failed three different drug tests. So at 27 years of age, Ricky Williams retired. And it was basically because he couldn't pass a drug test. So he decided that instead of playing NFL football, he would go into, he began studying holistic medicine. And, you know, basically teaching people how to heal their bodies without traditional medicine and how to heal their bodies a lot of times with marijuana. He kind of got bored with that after a year, so he came back to football in 2005. But he failed a fourth drug test. So he got suspended. So he went up to the CFL, played a year up there. He decided he'd go back to the Dolphins in 2007. He failed another drug test. Finally, Ricky Williams retired in 2012. He had 11 seasons in the NFL, but he only played in 147 games because he was always suspended or he was hurt. And a lot of times they say that he used marijuana as a situation where he was just trying to alleviate some of the pain that his body had. There are our top five stoner athletes of all time. I don't know if you agree with them or not, but there are our top five stoner athletes of all time.
Well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Well, yes, that is our opinion. Next week on the show, we will get you ready for the NFL draft like no other. We will take a look at some of the top players. We will take a look at some of the team needs and where some of these players may end up. We will get you ready for the NFL draft. Plus, we will begin to look more and more at the NBA playoffs. You know, these series should start getting better, and we should start getting a little more watchable basketball the further on we get. At some point, we might have to talk just a little bit of NHL playoffs. I know we don't talk much hockey on the show, but the NHL playoffs are actually really, really good. Far more watchable than the NBA is right now. And at some point, don't we have to get to our Major League Baseball preview? I don't know, maybe by like 4th of July, maybe we'll get to that. But at some point, that could be coming at some point. And you know that we will have our Daily Dose Top 5 each and every week. As you saw today, you never quite know which direction the Daily Dose Top 5 is going to go, so you have to tune in. If you get a chance, if you could head over to wherever it is that you download or subscribe to the podcast, whether that is iTunes, Podcast Republic, a place like Stitcher, wherever that might be, just give us a quick 5-star rating and a review. We would appreciate that so much. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next week.